presence of God. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. His presence is enough. Oh, his presence is enough. That's enough. That's the end right there. Amen. Amen. His presence is enough. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your presence, Father. Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your move. I thank you for your indwelling. I thank you for your words of wisdom. I thank you for your knowledge, God. I thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy, Father. I thank you for the opportunity you've given us to just walk in you, Father, to abide in you, Lord, to know your presence, to recognize your presence, to be made aware of your presence, Father, to know that your presence is enough. You're all we need. I thank you, Father, for opening ears, opening eyes this afternoon, Father, that we all can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, see what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. We thank you, Father, for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. We're just going to chill in his presence. In his presence. Fullness of joy in his presence. Everything we need is in his presence. Amen. And as we were worshiping, I was reminded, I went to Georgia a couple weeks ago, and there was one particular night there that I had this encounter with God. And it was so tangible and so beautiful, and just his majesty. It was incredible. And I was preparing for my message. The next day I had to speak. There were about 220 women there. They're waiting to hear a word from the Lord. They've been praying. There's transformation that they were desiring in their hearts, changes that they wanted in their lives, and they were seeking a word from the Lord. And it's so easy to know the word, right? And from the knowledge that God will give you, and we could put together a great sermon. We put together, a great word that would make sense. It would teach on great principles. We can have something that we leave home with, but it may have not been what the Holy Spirit needed for them in that moment. So I was sitting in the cabin, and I was just, hours and hours, and I'm like, Lord, I had a message, and I'm like, what is it that you want to say? I want what you want, Father. Your presence is enough. Your word is enough. Nothing from me. I don't want to add to this. I don't want to take away from this. What is it that you want? And so the Lord just said, Jennifer, just stop, and I need you to come out of your room and come outside. Now, I was in Georgia, so at this retreat center, and so I walk out, and there's all these trees. They're absolutely huge, and there's lake. Now, this is about 12:30 at night, so I'm out there by myself. I'm sure everyone was sleeping, and I just put on some worship music, and people probably thought I was crazy. I'm running up and down, you know, this retreat center, all over the grass hills, you know, the trees. It's like quiet out there. I'm probably singing and crying at the top of my lungs, just worshiping God. That was the response. I don't need to sit here and try to figure this out. Let me just worship the Lord. Let me get in his presence. Let me be in his presence, because that's where the solutions are. That's where all the answers are, right? So I hit this moment where I'm worshiping, and then all of a sudden, it's like something just, like, hit, and I was in this, like, other realm, like, this different place, and the Lord's like, open your eyes, and I open up my eyes, and all these trees around me, I'm seeing them worship the Lord. I'm seeing all of creation worship the Lord. I was blown away. I saw the trees like I'd never seen the trees before. They were standing firm. 1 Chronicles 16:33 says, and shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. These trees, they were standing firm. They were worshiping the Lord with their utmost excellence. You could see they would sway as he told them to sway, right? The stars were shining as he told them to shine. I was watching his word and watching all of this take place, and I was completely amazed. And then in this moment, like an army would stand before a commander. They were adhering to his every word, giving all this glory and majesty to him. And then the Lord says, Jennifer, lift up your hands. And so I lift up my hands, and he says, now conduct them. I'm like, so I start conducting, and he's like, join in on the worship. It was so powerful. There was this heavenly worship going on, and it was absolutely incredible. I think at that moment, like, I'm standing, if anyone saw me through the window, I'm literally, I'm like, all right, like Elijah on Chariots of Fire, just float me up now, because this is, this is great. Like, beam me up, Scotty. This is incredible. But I was just, I admired the worship, the obedience in the worship, and the honoring of the presence of God. To the trees, his presence was enough. To the trees, his command was their final word. I wish it were like that for us, who he's given free will to, right? But it was their final word. Whatever purpose he'd given them, they were fulfilling to their utmost excellence. And I watched them tremble in the wind, in his presence. Creation fears the Lord. Do you tremble before him? Because sometimes I feel like we get so used to church or reading the Bible the same way, or comfortable and content with what God did yesterday, that we're not even expectant of what he's trying to do right now, like in this very moment, right now. Or we're caught in a previous move of God, no matter how incredible the victory was and how incredible the victory is, or what our idea of what a godly move looks like, or feels like, or sounds like, that we'll miss what he's doing right now. We'll miss where the cloud of his presence by day is moving and the fire of his presence is moving by night. And it's so often in this life that we're looking for answers or change, but what if the answer is just worship? It's just worship. Like I said, not trying to figure it out. It's just worship. And I think we can make things, I know I can, make things difficult sometimes, taking on unnecessary stresses, unnecessary burdens, trying to rack our brains on how to figure this out, why this person's doing this, what we can do here, da 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 da. All of that stuff, when all we need to do is worship, be still, and know. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Now, when we look up still, that word means to slacken. So it's a lack of work or activity. So with that, you're in a state of rest. You're in a state of rest. And Exodus 33:14 says, the Lord, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So when you're still before God, it's like you're not ebbing and flowing like the tides. You're not moving from here to there. You're not focused on what's going in and out. You're not focused on the right. You're not focused on the left. You're not focused on these things that are ever changing and always going to be flawed. But instead, we're focused on the one who is never changing, the one who is perfect. And part of being still and knowing he is God is just worshiping. You're probably going to hear me say that a billion times. But just worshiping and knowing that God is. It's simple as that. God is. We just stop there. We don't have to focus on the things like, well, where is God? Why is God doing this? When is God going to bring that? Why would God create this? Why isn't he saying this, doing this, answering me this way? We can throw away all the who, what, when, where's, and the whys and just focus on knowing that God is. His presence is enough. Just him. Enough. He's the great I am. I mean, we could just sit on that. He's the great I am. And I wanted Shane to share this little testimony about what great I am means, if you're willing.
Yes, I didn't get this testimony. It was actually a friend of mine, but he had an encounter where he came to the throne room of God and he said, I couldn't see God's face, but I was able to see his body. And he said, I understood why the Lord says, I am, when he's talking to Moses. Tell them that I am sent you. And he said, because when he saw God, everything that was exuding forth from him, there was no need for God. God doesn't need anything for him to exist, or he doesn't need it. He's the provider of all things. And it's the same thing for us. There is not one need that God cannot fulfill. So when it comes to us, he is, I am whatever you need. I need this, I am. I'm going through this, I am. There, he is the answer to everything. So when we think of I am, he is the answer.
Yeah. He's everything. The great I am. Psalms 23:1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A lot of times when I would read that scripture, I would say, okay, God, you know, I'm not going to want, okay, I'll put that down, like that addiction, I'll put that down. I won't want that. I'll want you instead. But really what it's saying is that you will have no lack. If the Lord is your shepherd, you will have no lack because he is everything. He provides everything, everything, emotionally, physically, financially, everything. He's perfect. He's faithful. He's true. He's righteous. He's pure. He's holy. I just want to sit on these things. He's counselor. He's the great physician. He is. He is. Whether people believe it or not, he is. That's how great he is. He's God Almighty. He's sovereign. He's omnipotent. He's good. He just is. And another definition of still is to draw towards. So when you're still, you're not only strengthening your ability to know God and to encounter God, right, and to draw near to God, but you're weakening your ability to be drawn away from God by temptation. My youngest son's favorite verse is James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So when you draw near to him, he will always, always, always draw near to you. He will answer you, even if it's in a way that we may not want the answer. Even if he's quiet, that's an answer. The Bible says to wait on the Lord. What an honor it is to wait on the Lord. What an honor it is to wait on the Lord. I'll never forget the first time that the Lord revealed himself to me. I wouldn't say revealed. Maybe when I first became aware of him, because he's always revealing himself. I see him everywhere. I was 5, and I was in my kindergarten class. We were like hanging out on the yard. And all the kids were talking about earthquakes. And they're all like, oh my gosh, have you felt this earthquake before? And they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, my toys fell off the shelf. I remember this so clearly. And I'm the only one sitting there in a group of maybe like 7 or 8 who never felt an earthquake. Yeah, that's what I was thinking at 5. And I was like, well, this can't happen. This is weird. I was very bothered by it. So I went home. And when it was time for bedtime, it was still bothering me in the evening. And so I remember laying in bed, and before, you know, I closed my eyes to go to sleep, I was like, well, you know what? This whole earthquake thing, maybe I should just talk to the one who created the earth. You know, maybe he'll have some answers for me about this. I mean, he's probably the one who made it shake. Anyway, so in my 5-year-old understanding, I go to the Lord and I say, God, okay, Lord, you know the conversation that happened earlier on the yard. And this is just really bothering me, and I can't sleep. But, I mean, I've never felt one of these before. And, you know, I don't want anyone to get hurt, God. I don't want anyone to get hurt. I just, I'm just curious. I want to know what it feels like. So, I mean, if you could just send a little, before I could finish the word earthquake, the earth shook. I mean, shook. I freaked out. When I say I flew, I believe humans could fly. Because I flew from my bedroom down the hall into my parents' room under their covers. And I'm just like, I have to be dreaming. This is crazy. Like, did my bed just shake? Like, what is going on? Is there something in my room? What's happening here? And I move the covers from my eyes. And my dad's holding the TV. And my mom's standing by the dresser. And they say, Jennifer, did you feel it? From that moment on, there was no doubt in my mind, one, that God was real and that he just is, that he has all of the power, that he listens, that he loves me. And really, he's doing things like that every single day. We just have to have our ears open and our eyes open to see the move of God. Maybe it's an earthquake. It was an earthquake at that time in my life, but it could be anything in each of our lives. It could be a word from a stranger. It could be the fact of maybe we're driving, you know, on the freeway and God has the cars that would have hit you, just move out of the way. It could be subtle things. It could be more non-subtle things, but God is so good and he's revealing himself all the time. We just have to become aware of his presence. And we have to continue to make ourselves aware every single day. The word says that God's presence goes before you. In Deuteronomy 31:18, it says, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So do not fear nor be dismayed. The NIV says it this way, the Lord himself. I love that. Because sometimes the Lord was sending the angel of the Lord. It says the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. And the NLT puts it like this. It says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you or abandon you. God's relationship with all of us is so personal. And the knowingness that he allows us to have of him is personal. And the way that God reveals himself to you, whether you've known him for years or whether you're just kind of warming up to the truth that Jesus is Lord, he'll encounter you in a very personal way because he's ready to save. He's standing at the door. He's ready to come. He's ready to flood in every area of our lives, heaven and his presence. Jesus prayed, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The presence of God moved across the waters when the universe was formed. The presence of God walked this earth when Jesus walked the earth. And now the presence of God is revealed to us through an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit lives in you, his presence lives in you, and you carry the authority over every distraction, temptation, oppression, depression, frustration, agitation, and attack. We have that authority. We live in this earth, but because of Jesus, we have the opportunity to live on earth as it is in heaven. We can see heavenly things. Like I saw the trees worshiping and the lake being still at his word. Knowing the majesty of that moment, knowing that at any given moment, he can uproot those trees. Any given moment, he can remove the water from that lake. Any given moment, he can cause the sun to shine in that night sky. We can hear heavenly things. I'll never forget when you shared your testimony and you heard like heavenly songs and sound. Was it strings or horns or piano? I don't know. Unexplainable. On earth as it is in heaven. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience his presence. And the beauty of his presence and what he allows us to see and witness and hear. That's incredible. And we can feel heavenly things, literally a touch from God or the shaking of the earth. When Shane and I have to travel somewhere, I guess when anyone has to travel somewhere, right? You pack your suitcase, you pack what you can only bring on the plane, and when you get to your destination, whatever you packed is there. Now, early in the year, Shane and I, we went to go minister in Costa Rica, but when we got off the plane to minister in Costa Rica, the presence of God was there. When I touched down in Georgia a few weeks ago, the presence of God was there because he goes before us. So whether you choose to be aware of him or not, God is there. He's in your room. He's in your car. He's in your home. He's with you wherever you go. The Lord says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So we can't flee from his presence. But I found that when we allow ourselves to become more aware of the world around us or what's happening to us or even what's happening against us, more than of God, then we become like that fig tree that wasn't producing fruit versus those trees that were standing firm in worship. And God knows you. Nothing is hidden from God. As much as God wants us to be aware of his presence, he's so aware of our presence, the dark and the light. He sees how much you read your Bible or don't. He sees what you do when no one else is around. He knows your thoughts. He knows why you're taking that next step, or maybe you're not taking that next step. He knows if you've been struggling with forgiveness. He knows what makes you smile because he's created you. He loves each and every one of us, and he knows us so deeply. He knows that you've been praying for your family, praying for your wife, praying for your generations. And he hears your prayers, and he's answering your prayers, and he loves you for coming to him humbly. He knows. He sees you. He can feel the secret desires of your heart, the prayers that you've come to him in the evening, in the morning. He knows, and he's listening. And he says that your heart is like a deep well, and it's so beautiful. And he loves your heart. And he wants you to know that his hand is big enough to reach down even to the bottom of that well and touch every part of you and bless you with the desires of your heart. God is so good. God is so good. He is so good. He is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Really quick. For the two of you. The Lord says, unlike many others, what God has done spiritually in making you one, you have manifested in the flesh. Your prayers are from one heart. God hears you because you honor your wife. And God hears you because you respect your husband. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And because you're the rock, all your worries and concerns can fall to the wayside. Because it's the Lord who built this church. It's the Lord who tends your sheep. It's the Lord who's raising up leaders and torchbearers. It's the Lord who works in and through you, and it's the Lord who heals. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in the Lord's presence that brings fullness of joy, like Pastor said. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Everything you need and everything God wants for us to have is found in his presence. So how do we get in his presence? It's simple. There's no special lighting. There's no special speech. Just worship. Humble ourselves, not being worried about what others think. It's okay to get a little undignified. If he calls you to the altar, we don't have to be afraid. Well, what are they going to think about me if I come to the altar? Who cares? What does God think about you? He has these blessings and gifts for you that he wants to give you. We spoke at a marriage conference yesterday, and maybe at some point we'll be able to share our testimony, but the beginning of our marriage was a really, really tough time. and we both needed to humble ourselves. And so it wasn't until we humbled ourselves that we began to actually have a relationship. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So my prayer for you is to seek his presence, because his presence is enough. And let the Lord be your shepherd, because where he is, you have no lack. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
What a word. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for his word today. I kept hearing he is. God is. You know, scripture says without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must first believe that he is. Right. How many believe that he is today? And not only believe that he is, but that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, carefully seek him. I wonder who's seeking the Lord today. Amen. Who's seeking the Lord in these crucial times we're living in? Who's calling upon Jesus in the time of sickness and pain, trials and troubles and heartaches and destruction all around us? How many are seeking the Lord on today? I want to raise my hand. God, if I haven't been seeking you enough, I want to seek you some more now. Because you are the only true and living God, and all of our help is in him. Thank you, God. Thank you for the word, Sister Jennifer, sharing, amen, with the church on today. Thank you, God, worshiping the Lord, worshiping and magnifying and praising the name of the Lord. That's what it's all. That's where the victory come in. There's victory in the praise. God met you out there in the middle of nowhere. And I know those Georgia skies is real dark at night, and the stars are so bright. But he's the one who created it all. Thank you, Lord God. So is there anyone in the house of the Lord today that's really seeking God? Is there anyone in the house of the Lord who really needs a blessing from the Lord? Is there anybody in the house of the Lord who want to get to that place where you first believe? The first time you wept before the Lord. The first time you rejoiced in the Lord. Do anybody ever long to get back to that place? And I know the word today is for the house of the Lord, because the Lord is sending people into the house of the Lord who's learning to rest in him and to trust him and to be able to forget about those things that are behind and reach forward to the things ahead. What a blessing. What a blessing it is. So if you're in the house of the Lord, if you're in the overflow, you need a blessing from the Lord, we want to pray for you today. Make your way into the sanctuary, praise God. If you're in the sanctuary, God is talking to us. He's speaking to us as we're worshiping him. Whatever we need, God's got it. Don't sit down on what you need for God. Amen. Bring it to the forefront. Bring it to Jesus. Somebody said, I came to Jesus just as I was, weary, wounded, and sad, but I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Is any glad folks in the house on today? Is there anyone grateful? Because you know where you were. You know what condition you were in, and now you find yourself in the house of the Lord. You find yourself worshiping the Lord, hands lifted up before God, falling on our knees, giving him glory, honor, and praise, seeking his face, asking him, God, oh, God, send your word, send help, deliver, Lord, make it right, God, help my children, help my grandchildren, God, help us today, Lord. God is here. He's always here. Pastor Jennifer said, he's always here. He's wherever we are, he's with us. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He would be with us always, even until the end of the age. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, how we praise you, how we worship you all today. God, you're so good. You're so gracious. You're so kind. You're so merciful. Thank you, Lord. We're smiling and shining down upon us, Lord. Thank you for the very breath that we breathe. Thank you for the activity of our limbs. Thank you for the peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. for this great salvation. Thank you for entrusting us with your word. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Thank you, Lord. And so, Father, there's nothing hard for you. There is nothing that you cannot do. You know who we are. You know where we're going. You know where we've been. You know where you want to take us, Father. We want to go with you. We want to go with you in the name of Jesus. Hey, God, thank you, Lord. Oh, this precious sister, you brought her back from death's door. Thank you, Lord Jesus, what you're doing in her life. Thank you how you're blessing her. Thank you how you're encouraging her. Thank you how you're strengthening her, God. She don't even have the cane no more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would meet every need in her life, Lord. The deepest, earnest parts of her very being that she's laid out before you, God, do it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We thank you. This father, Lord God. This daughter, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You are excellent. You are mighty. You are awesome. And you know what we need before we even ask you. But God, we're asking right now. Oh, God, that we want to hear from heaven. Send us a personal earthquake today. Shake our foundation, God. Turn our hearts back to heaven in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, help us to forget those things behind and reach forward to the things ahead. Let your glory be revealed, Father God. From heaven's throne, God, down here, Lord, rain on us today. Rain on us in the name of Jesus, Lord. Bless this mother in a very special way with these teenage boys, Lord God. Oh, God, her household, her husband, Lord. Everything she put her hands to, Lord. Bless her, Father God. Give her that peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we claim victory today. We can claim victory in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you're going to do a new thing in her life. You're going to empower her like never before, God. You're going to wipe away every tear from her eye, God, and you're going to replace those tears with joy in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, Lord. Thank you for the saints of God. Thank you for this precious sister on today, Lord. You know, you see, and you know all things. And you know you do all things well, Father. We pray for our sister Shirley today in the name of Jesus. You are the God who said, forget the surgery. You're the God who's already touched her knee. And so, Father, the other things that's not physical, we pray today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, God, build a hedge around about her, Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Her husband, Lord, he needs a touch from you. He needs a touch that he don't know that he needs. But, God, we're praying, we're interceding for him now that you would touch him, Father. Touch him, Lord, not only his physical body, but his very being, God, his spirit, God, his mind. Give him a new mind. Give him the mind of Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. We pray for our brother, oh God, yet in his time of bereavement. Sometime the load is so heavy. Oh God, sometime the memories come and flash through. But God, you blessed him. And you've given him your word. And you have upheld him. In this time, you blessed him, Lord. And you blessed him to bless so many others. So, Father, won't you continue to bless him and strengthen him? Lift him up, oh God, where the eagles fly. Thank you, Lord, that every trial he's gone through is for his strength, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, his household, his children, Lord. Bless, Father, like only you know how. Thank you, Lord, for the woman of God. Thank you for Sister Patricia. Thank you for this woman who loves you. God, you the one who has opened up scripture to her. God, you're the one who have given her deep meaning and understanding of your word. And God, every time she opens her mouth, God, you speak through her. And we thank you. We thank you, God. Bless her. Bless her husband, Lord. Thank you for the prophecy that went forth on today, for the insight from the woman of God for this couple. Thank you, Lord. Eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard, and it hasn't entered the hearts of men the good things that you have in store for those who love you. Lord, this couple love you, and we pray your choice is blessing upon them today. We pray for Sister Janet, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You know what she's going through. You see the need in her daughter's life. You see the need in the children, in the grandchildren's life, Lord. You see it all. And so, Father, we pray now for victory in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we know that you have plans for Sister Rachel, Lord. Oh, God, let her understand and receive, Lord, and be still and know that you're God. Work it out for her, God. I know that you've called Rachel to be a pillar in the house of the Lord. God, we ask you to do it today in the name of Jesus. We bless you. We thank you. We honor you. We magnify your name, God. Pastor Jones, Lord, God, won't you continue to bless him? Thank you for his anointing. Thank you for his knowledge of the word. Thank you for his love for your people. Thank you, Lord, for the concern for his sons. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, as you touch and heal his back, Father God, I pray that you would use him in a way that he's never even dreamed of before. Hey, God, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, God, in the name of Jesus. Do it today, Lord. Do it today, Lord. New word, oh God, new determination, new vision. In the name of Jesus, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Sister Jennifer, come on, let's worship the Lord for a minute. We getting ready to get up out of here, y'all.
Nothing else.
God is doing something in our midst.
Nothing else.
Thank you, Lord. Be healed in the name
nothing
of Jesus.
Else will
be delivered
do.
In the name.